Well, I quit. I quit all sports. Football in the fall, basketball in the winter, baseball in the spring and summer, I've had it. I quit. You know, your pastor has been an avid sports fan all my life. But now I've had it. I quit this sports business once and for all. You will never get me up to one of those stadiums again, or one of those arenas again. Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to give you a number of reasons. Number one, every time I went, they asked me for money. Number two, the people I sat with didn't seem very friendly. Number three, the seats were hard and very uncomfortable. I squeezed in. Number four, I went to many games. I mean, I can't tell you how many games I went to, and the coach never came to visit me. Never did. Number five, the last time I went, the referee made a decision that I disagreed with. Number six, actually, when I went, I suspected that I was sitting with some hypocrites. They came just to visit with their friends, and they weren't even interested in the game. Number seven, some games went into overtime, and I got home late. Can you imagine that? Number eight, last time I went, the band, when they played the national anthem, they played it in a contemporary form. And I like traditional. Number nine, it seemed like most of the games, if not all of them, were scheduled when I wanted to do something else. Number 10, I was taken to too many games by my parents when I was growing up. Number 11, I recently read a book, and now I know more than the coaches do anyway. And number 12, I don't want to take my children to any games because I want them to choose for themselves what sports team that they will follow when they grow up. So I quit. Not really. That's from a little tract from the National Tract Society. But can you imagine that people use those same kind of flimsy excuses to not come to church? Well, I want to tell you today here, I love the church. I do. I love the church. And I've been sharing with you reasons why I love the church, right, over the last several weeks. I love the church because it's the body of Christ with Christ as our head. I love the church because it is the temple of God with Christ as the cornerstone. I love the church because it's the family of God. Amen. And we have Christ as our brother. And I love the church. Last week we took a look at the fact that I love the church because it's the army of God with Christ as our commander and chief. You know, we don't have to fight the battles alone. We're fighting these battles together. We're the army of God. I love the church. Now, I can just hear some people. Some people are down on the church today. They really are. They bash the church. And I can hear them saying, "Pastor, what you've been preaching is theoretically what the church should be. And we love that. We love the church as the body of Christ with Christ as the head. We love the church as the temple of God with Christ as the cornerstone. We love the church as the family of God with Christ as our brother. We love the church as the army of God with Christ our commander-in-chief. We love that church. But it's just the church today that we hate. It's the organized institution of the church that we hate." Now, I want to answer that. I'd like to answer that today. You say that I've been preaching theoretically what the church should be? No, 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 no. I haven't been preaching what the church theoretically should be. I have been preaching what the church is. Listen to me. What the church is. The Bible never says, you know what? You should be the body of Christ. You should be the temple of the Holy Spirit. You should be the family of God. You should be the army of God. It never says that. It says you are. Folks, listen to me. You are the body of Christ. God works through you. Christ is our head. And we have a living connection with the head. We are, listen to this, the temple of God. Do you get that? The naos, the holy of holies. That's who you are. And Christ is the cornerstone. And we align ourselves with him and with his will and with his purposes. You are the family of God. And the people you're sitting with in the pew there, they're your brothers and sisters. And you know, in the family of God, blood's thicker than water. And we're born of the blood, folks. And we are the we are the army of God. And Christ is our commander in chief, and the battle belongs to the Lord. Praise God. In fact, he's already won the battle. He's won the war. And the scripture doesn't say you should be these things. It says you are. And then what it says is now, be what you are. Be what you are. So when somebody says, you're preaching theoretically. No, 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 no. I'm not preaching theoretically. I'm just saying what the scripture says. We are these things. Now be what you are. Don't leave the church. Love the church. Don't bash the church. Be the church. So that's how I'd answer that. That's all. That's all. No charge. Now, this morning, I want to get into another reason why I love the church. So take your Bibles and open to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And I want you to just look at verses 14 and 15. I want to read there. Paul is writing, and Timothy is writing to his disciple Timothy, who pastored, who was a worker in the church of Ephesus. And he tells them why he is writing this letter to Timothy. He says, I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. You know, Paul loved the church. He wanted to come. Hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the pillar, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. He says, I write to you that you may know how to conduct yourself in the household of God, the family of God. The church of the living God. We're the temple. This is where the living God lives in his people. And he says, the pillar and support of the truth. And you know, I love the church because we are the pillar and support of the truth. Amen. Now, to understand the significance of that, what I want to do is ask and try to answer four questions about that. And question number one is this: what is the truth? When it says we're the pillar and support of the truth, what is the truth? You see, today, the prevalent teaching out in the world, the prevalent teaching concerning truth is what? There is no such thing as absolute truth. You can't know anything for sure. That's the teaching. And especially, listen, especially when it comes to spiritual or religious truth, they say, you can't know anything for sure. There's no absolute truth. Wrong. Wrong. There is. So what's the truth? Let me give you four things that are the truth. First of all, the Bible is the truth. Come on, I hear an amen in somebody's heart out there. The Bible's the truth. In Psalm 119, verse 160, the sum of thy word is truth. Jesus said, he prayed for us in John 17:17. He said, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but this book will not pass away. The truth of this book will remain on. This is truth. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, all scripture is inspired of God. God breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Amen. Folks, this book is true. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is verbally inspired. That means down to the very words that were written in the original autographs. And it is totally authoritative for all things and for life. It is the word of God. It is true. The Bible is the truth. Number two, the Savior is the truth. Amen. The Savior is the truth. Not only is the written word the truth, but the living word, Jesus Christ, is the truth. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory of the as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. And Jesus said, you remember, in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, you want to know truth? I'm the truth. You know, when Pilate asked him, what is truth? Jesus could say, you're looking at him. Because Jesus Christ, the Savior, is the truth. A third thing that is the truth is the gospel is the truth. Galatians 2:5, Paul writing concerning false teachers. There's a lot of false teachers out there. And he writes and he states, we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. The truth of the gospel. Colossians 1:5, he writes to the Colossians, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, the good news. And the good news is that God sent his only son. Amen. Jesus, God the Son, the one who was with God and was God, came and took on flesh. And he lived a perfect life. And he went to the cross and died as a sinless substitute for us, to provide atonement, to provide salvation for us. He died for our sins. Amen. And he is the propitiation for our sins, the covering and the forgiveness of our sins. And not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. His death is sufficient to pay for the sins of the world. Now, not everybody's going to be saved, because you have to take that gift. You have to receive Christ to be saved. But he died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He's a living Savior. And I'll tell you what, that's good news. Amen. And that's the gospel. And when a person trusts in Christ, they are saved and will go to heaven one day. And that's the truth. That's the truth of the gospel. And then number four, the faith is the truth. The faith, not our personal faith, our faith that which we receive Christ by faith. This means the faith is the central truths of the Christian religion. Scripture calls it sound doctrine. You can put this verse down, 1 Timothy 4:6 states, quote, in pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. The faith refers to the essential doctrines of Christianity. They're true. Some of these would be the doctrine of God, theology, that God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal, co-eternal, one God, but existing in three persons. Another one of those truths, those essentials, is that, again, God sent forth Jesus, his Son, who took on flesh, born of a virgin, took on flesh, lived a perfect life, and then died as a substitute on the cross for our sins. That's essential. That he rose bodily from the grave 3 days later. That Jesus then ascended into heaven and is at the right hand of the Father, from which he will one day come again. These are essentials of the faith. There's the doctrine of man, and that man was created in the image and likeness of God, but man fell in sin. Therefore, every one of us, when we're born sinners. And man, all sin and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need redemption. Amen. There's the doctrines of the church. There's a doctrine of heaven, a doctrine of hell. These are all truths that we find in God's word, and they are all included in what we call the faith. So what is truth? The Bible's the truth. What is truth? The Savior's the truth. What is truth? The gospel's the truth. What is truth? The faith is the truth. So question number two. How important is the truth? How important is the truth? Is this really important? Yes! It's really essential! How do we know that? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ told us that it's essential. It is essential. In fact, you remember when Jesus was talking with Pilate, and they were talking, you are a king? You're a king? He said, you got that one right. Did somebody tell you? Or did you come up with this on your own? And then Jesus said something. See if you remember, and I don't want you to turn there. It's in John 18:37. He said, for this reason, or this purpose, I was born. And for this reason, I came into the world to what? What do you think? For this reason, I was born. For this reason, I came into the world to. He did come to save, because he said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve and give my life a ransom for many. He came to save, but that's not it. Why did he come? I came into the world for this purpose. Why? To die for our sins. Yes, he came to die for our sins, but that's not what he said. Ah, there it is. Did you hear that? He said, for this purpose I've come into the world. For this purpose I was born, to testify to the truth. Amen. To testify to the truth. To give testimony. The truth is so important. He said, that's why I came into this world. Now, the other reasons, to die for our sins, to seek and to save the lost, to fulfill the law. All these are reasons to destroy the works of the devil. Those are all reasons. But in John 18:37, he said, I was born for this purpose. I came into the world to testify to the truth. So the truth, Jesus thought the truth was essential. Why is the truth essential? Because, folks, listen, through the truth, we're saved. Now, let me explain that. A person is not saved by believing in truth. Do you get that? You can believe all the right doctrines and still be lost. How do we know? Because demons, you know what? There's no such thing as an atheistic demon. There are people that claim to be atheists. There are no demons that are atheists. They know that God exists. They know that Jesus came. They knew his identity, remember? They knew who he was. They know he went to the cross and died on the cross for sin. They know that he rose bodily from the grave, much to their chagrin. They know it all, and they're lost. See, you can know it all here and miss heaven by 18 inches. 18 inches. You're not saved. No one's saved by believing in truth. We are saved by believing through doctrinal truth in the person of Jesus Christ. Do you get that? That's different. It's not the truth, believing in the truth. It's believing through the truth in the person of Christ. In other words, you can't make up what you want to make up about Jesus and think you're saved. You can't make up what you think about God. Well, I think, well, that's your God, but my God is... No, you can't make it up. You see, someone says, I believe in Jesus. You know what I want to ask? What Jesus? What Jesus do you believe in? Do you believe in the Jesus of the Bible? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? You see, a person is saved. Jesus said this, what? John 8? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, apart from the truth, I don't believe you can be saved. You know, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, by the truth in the book. Yes. You see, it's through truth that we place our faith in Christ and we're saved. Amen. So is it essential? Is truth essential? Wow! You can't be saved without the truth. But how about after you get saved? Is truth important then? Oh my! Because not only are we saved through the truth, we grow through the truth and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. Remember what it says? As newborn babes long for the pure milk of the word. Long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Yes. You see, we grow in Christ in sanctification as the Holy Spirit ministers God's truth in our lives and works within us to make us more like Jesus. Yes. So the answer to the second question, is the truth important? It's essential. Because you can't be saved without the truth. And if you're a Christian, you can't grow without the truth. So it's very, very important, right? Third question. What does it mean to be the pillar and support of the truth? Now, the imagery here is beautiful. The picture here. Because Paul, remember, is writing to Timothy, who was ministering in Ephesus. Folks, Ephesus was the home of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Temple of Artemis, or if the Greek name was the Temple of Diana. And that, according to the historian, William Barclay, he says, quote, one of the features of this Temple of Diana was its pillars. It contained 127 pillars, every one of them a gift from a king. All were made of marble, and some were studded with jewels and overlaid with gold. The people of Ephesus knew well how beautiful a thing a pillar could be. And what did these pillars do? It helps hold up the building, but it also displayed the beauty of the temple. Oh, so what does it mean when it says, you're the pillar and support of the truth, church? What it means is we are to hold up truth and we are to display the beauty of the truth of God. We're to display the beauty of the Bible. We're to display and hold up the beauty of the Savior. We're to display and hold up the beauty of the gospel. We're to display and hold up the beauty of the doctrine of God. Yes. The sound doctrine. Yes. That's what we are to do. Hold up and display to the world. Amen. The truth. Now, it's extremely important, especially today. Especially today. Isaiah in the Old Testament spoke of a time that would come when truth would stumble in the streets. Isaiah 59:14. Paul writing, if you have your Bibles open still to 1 Timothy 3, you can go down to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Look at there. It says, but the Spirit explicitly says, listen, in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. And you remember over in 2 Timothy 3, you remember it says in the last days, what kind of times are coming? Perilous times are coming. Dangerous times. Depraved times. Deceptive times. And in those times, what's important? The truth. Amen. Somebody's got to tell the truth, yes. Folks. And the church, we're the pillar and support of the truth. Amen. And listen, if we don't do it, no one else is going to do it. CNN's not going to do it. Fox News, Religious Truth, not going to do it. Akron Beacon Journal's not going to do it. The only one that can be and needs to be the pillar and support of the truth is the church. That's us. Now, question number 4. How can the church pull this off? How can we do this? We're told we're the pillar and support of the truth. How can we do this? 4 ways. First of all, we must speak the truth. We've got to speak the truth. Jesus said, I was born and I came into the world to testify that the truth. We have been reborn. And guess where God sends us? Into the world. Why? To give testimony to the truth. We've got to do that. You know what we have to tell the world? When they say, there's no such thing as absolute truth, we need to say, oh, no, wrong. Here it is. The Bible is the truth. Amen. We need to tell. You want absolute truth? Here it is. We need to tell them about the Bible. When they say Say, no truth? Oh, yes, there is. Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by him. Do you know I had a pastor, an evangelical pastor, at a conference here in Akron, tell us, never, ever say from the pulpit that Jesus is the only way to God. I couldn't believe it. He said, you know, if you say that and you have millennials in your congregation, they'll never come back. And I say, you know what? Millennials need the truth. Amen. They need the truth. And maybe they'll never come back, but they'll hear the truth at least once. Listen, Jesus is the only way to God. Amen. He's the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's Christ. He's the only way you can get to God. We need to tell the truth. We need to tell the truth about the gospel. You see, there is nothing, listen folks, there is nothing you or I can do to earn salvation. Nothing we can do to gain in our own flesh. Nothing we can do to earn it. You can't buy it. There's nothing we can do. It is a gift of God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, Christ died for your sins. He rose from the dead. He paid the full price for your sins. He said it's finished, paid in full. Amen. Nothing we can add to that. All we can do is turn from going our way, turn to God, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And folks, that's the truth. And the world needs to hear it. The world needs the gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. God's only Son provides eternal life. And you need to receive him into your heart. Have you done that? We need to tell people that. We need to tell people the truth about sound doctrine. We need to be sharing sound doctrine from the Word of God. We need to speak the truth. We're the church. We're the church. We need to speak the truth. Number two, we need to preach and teach the truth in this church. We need to preach and teach from the pulpit, from in our Sunday school, in our small groups, in our Bible studies, in all of our other ministries. That's why it says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2, Paul says, preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We need to preach and teach the word. That's what we need to do. How can we do that? You do it in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says what? Study to show thyself approved unto God. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, people are dividing the word all the time. They're butchering it. They're butchering it. You can hear it on television. You can listen to it on some, not WCRF, but some radio stations. They butcher the word. They really do. The cults do too. We need to study. We need to be Bereans, right? We need to receive the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. We need to study the word and know the word, and then we need to preach and teach the word. In the church, there needs to be expository preaching and teaching of the Bible. Amen. Do you know in some churches they don't do that? I was up at SUMA, Western Reserve, up in Cuyahoga Falls. And I went up there and one of our parishioners was being operated on. I was waiting to get in to pray with her. And I was there with the family and I was talking with the family. And there was a lady sitting right over to my left. And she said, excuse me, excuse me. I said, yes. And she said, are you a preacher? Are you a pastor? She said, are you a pastor? I don't know, I must have looked like one or something. Are you a pastor? I said, yes, I am. She said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. She said, do you still do sermons in your church? I said, excuse me? She said, do you still do sermons in your church? I said, well, yeah. She said, well, I asked because we don't do sermons in our church anymore. And the guy sitting right across from me had visited our church. He said, ma'am, I'm going to tell you, they do sermons in their church. And then he said, pastor, I want to tell you, we still do sermons in my church. My pastor still does sermons in my church, but he doesn't use the Bible. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said he's been in the ministry for 30 years now, and he's run out of material. I said, I've been preaching for over 40 years now, and I haven't even scratched the surface. I've got to live for another 80 years before I get through part of the Bible here. Come on, say amen. Amen. But, and there are churches that don't preach the word. I'll tell you, in some churches, they have little 15-minute sermons. Sermonettes. Sermonettes are for Christianettes. We need to preach the word. We need to preach the whole word. The whole word. That's why I like, and I've been away from it for a little bit, I like preaching through books of the Bible. Because when you preach through books of the Bible, you got to preach on things that you would normally not preach on. If you're preaching topically, you can get on hobby horses and you can have the same message over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. But if you preach through books of the Bible, you've got to preach on everything. Well, unless you cheat and skip over portions of the book. But if you're preaching through the books of the Bible, you're going to preach on heaven and you're going to preach on hell. And you're going to preach on salvation and you're going to preach on judgment. And you're going to preach on stewardship and money. And you're going to preach on things like marriage and divorce. You're going to preach on things that, you know what? We've got to preach the whole counsel of God. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. And we need to do that in this church. We need to do that. And to preach that way, listen, to preach the truth of the word of God, you know what? You have to avoid some things. Timothy talks about you've got to avoid myths. You got to avoid fables. You got to avoid worldly philosophies, new bandwagons, and internet gobbledygook. You know what that is? You know what internet gobbledygook is? Well, let me tell you. There's a lot of weird stuff on the internet. Can I have an amen? I mean, anybody on the internet? There's a lot of weird stuff on the internet and a lot of rabbit trails that if we're not careful can distract us from the plain truth of God's word and the plain truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we got to avoid that stuff. We got to avoid that stuff. In fact, if you're still in 1 Timothy 3, we said we're the pillar and support of the truth. You know the next verse there, verse 16? What does it say? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He came in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Who's that? Jesus. I mean, he focused. He said, we're the pillar and support of the truth, and here's what you need to focus on. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I'll tell you, when I was among you, I determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. That's it. We got to stay on the truth and not get on rabbit trails. Man, we got to preach and teach the truth, by the way, in the church. And parents, you need to be a pillar and support of the truth in your homes. Teaching your children, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and holding up the truth in your homes. Amen? Amen? Okay, we need to speak the truth. We need to preach and teach the truth. Number three, we need to guard the truth. We need to guard the truth. 1 Timothy 6, 20 and 21. It says there, O Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to you. Avoid the internet and Facebook. Oh, no, excuse me. Avoid worldly and empty chatter. You could put the internet and Facebook. worldly and empty chatter, and the opposing arguments of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and thus have gone astray from the faith. Guard, guard what's entrusted to you. Do you get that? God, listen, God has entrusted to you, to you, to you. He's entrusted to us the truth. And he says, guard it. Guard it. John MacArthur says, throughout history, the truth, the true church has clung to the truth amid the swirling storms of persecution from without and the insidious attacks of false teachers from within. Countless thousands of martyrs have paid the ultimate price rather than abandon or compromise the precious truth of God's word. The church today has received that legacy of the truth from those who have gone before us. It is our responsibility, he says, to guard the truth, proclaim the truth, hand down the unadulterated truth from those from whom who have gone before us. We need to contend earnestly for the faith. Yes. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just guard it. Guard the truth. The church is the pillar and support of the truth. We don't make up the truth. We hold up the truth. Amen. We hold up the truth. So how do we do this? How do we pull it off? We speak the truth. We preach and teach the truth. We guard the truth. And listen to this one. Number four, we live out the truth. Oh, is that important? Live out the truth. Let me read to you. 3 John in your Bible. 3 John, just the first four verses. Listen to what John writes. He says, the elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is how you are walking in truth. Listen, I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in truth. There's no greater joy. You know what? There's no greater joy to a pastor when he sees the people of God walking in truth, in love and in truth. And you know, it's not enough, again, just to know this stuff. We can know it, but if we don't live it, we can even speak it. Let me tell you the truth. Let me preach a good sermon to you. Let me show you the truth. But if we don't live the truth, what are people going to say? Yes. Hypocrite. The best apologetic, the best argument in support of the truth of God's word is a life well lived. Is people walking, living it out. Yes. Walk that truth. When we live out the truth, Titus 2 says, you know what we're doing? We're adorning. We're adorning the doctrine of God, our Savior. Yes. We're like those pillars, those beautiful pillars in the temple of Diana, studded with all kinds of precious stones and overlaid with gold. And we're holding up the truth by the way we live. Yeah. My, oh my, oh my. Oh, yeah. That's how you do it. You go from this place today, you speak the truth. Yeah. You make sure that this church always preaches and teaches the truth. By the way, our middle name is Bible. Amen. Yeah. Faith Bible Fellowship. And may that always be held up in our church. Amen. And guard the truth. Yes. Guard it. And then live it out. You know what? I love the church. I love the church because we are the pillar and support of the truth. And you know what? If we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. If we don't hold up and display the truth, it's not going to get done. What a privilege. Amen. What a responsibility. Amen. Now, church, go be what you are. You are, we are, the pillar and support of the truth. Amen. Lord, thank you so much. What a beautiful thing, Lord. What a great privilege it is to be a part of your church. But Lord, what a great responsibility we have. You've entrusted to us the truth. Lord, may we be good stewards of your truth. May we speak it. May we preach and teach it in our church and in our homes. May we guard the truth. And Lord, oh my, help us every day to live it out so that when people look at us, they can see the truth. Help us, Lord. We pray in the name of the one who is truth, Jesus.